We love.
I should have fucking told my followers to come through. Shit.
No, no, we're not live. We're pre-recording.
Oh. Okay. But.
So we're good. We get to have some conversation. I doubt there's anything that we're probably going to have to cut out of here. So, you know what I'm saying? We should be good. So.
Is that glare too much? Hold up.
I'm intrigued by the background here, fam. Holy.
What's that?
I'm intrigued by the background that you have going on over there. Like. The setting, the scenery.
I'm really living. I did good with this.
You did, bro. Wow. Okay, explain to me what's going on back here before we even get into our interview here.
I got my media set up, dual monitor, computer under here, PS5 there, high-speed internet, this, that, and the third. I got it all.
Wow. And the high-speed internet is something that's really caught my attention because, you know, we're going to get into it a little bit more later on in the conversation, but you're mobile right now. You're not sedentary. You're not in one place.
I'm on Vancouver Island. I'm on the other side of the country right now.
Yeah, but like I'm saying, you're not just in a crib. You're moving. You're in a moving vehicle.
Yeah, I've been all over Canada this summer, friggin'. Started in Toronto, obviously, and then went all the way out as Nova Scotia, and then turned around and went to British Columbia.
Wow. Okay, so let's get into it just for the audience who lives under a rock and doesn't know who you are. You know what I'm saying? This is, I think, the third time that you've been on our network, but the second time that you and I have had a chance to have a conversation, right?
Yeah.
Big influencer in our city, content creator, graphic designer, creator of hilarious and classic skits, just the all around good guy. I would like to welcome back the 6 at 6, aka Brandon Walczak, in the motherfucking building.
Thank you, Friday. I appreciate you, dog.
So fam, like you said, you're in Vancouver right now, or like you're on Vancouver Island?
Yeah, I'm on the island right now. I'm going back to Van tomorrow. So people think that it's close. It's not. I got to take a 2-hour boat ride back into the mainland. You know what I'm saying? So it's a little bit of a mission still. But I mean, it is what it is. The networking and shit is dead on the island. But Vancouver is hot, you know, especially for acting. So,
yeah. And you definitely got some acting opportunities that I'm seeing popping off too. But before I get into anything, I just seen straight out of the 6 post something on the page, and I seen it on your page, but I thought it was on somebody else's arm. Did you get a tattoo of Trump's mugshot on your arm, bro? Yeah. Please show it to us, man. Wow. The definition on that is amazing.
Yeah. The guy's really sick. He's a graffiti artist. I'll send you links if anybody that views is interested. He's a graffiti artist, like 300 an hour. He's really, really, really talented.
Wow!
And some of the shit he does, like the portraits that he does, are crazy. And I'm a Trump supporter, so it went without question that, you know, getting the most iconic mugshot in the history of mankind. I had to.
So you posted it on your page and I see it.
Yeah.
It's starting to make its rounds around. Like I said, it's on straight out the 6. How's the reception been after that post? Like, what's the comments looking like?
I mean, I really don't give a shit what leftists have to say. You know what I'm saying? These progressive people, dude, you want to be progressive, do your thing, but Trump's for the people, and that's what matters to me. You know what I'm saying? I really don't care about the comments, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Comments only fuel the fire, so it is what it is, bro.
Wow. I can imagine some of the crazy paragraphs that you probably have in there because of this.
Oh, yeah. I don't even read them. Fuck off.
That's wild.
Oh, we can swear on here, right?
Yeah. If anything, and I got to do a little chippity chop out of there for the YouTube, you know what I mean? Fuck them.
I'll keep it kosher, people. I'll keep it kosher. All right.
Right. And getting back to like your trip, bro, you created a magic bus, let's say.
Yeah. I mean, I'll show you, I'll give you a little tour here. Can I turn this camera around while we're in?
I'm not sure. There might be.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. There we go. So yeah, I've got backup camera, you know what I'm saying? Got the sound system, got my amp right there, full setup, Stream Deck even.
That's amazing.
Got the Stream Deck, dual monitor, Starlink high-speed internet. Got the PlayStation 5 under there too. You know, it's my supplements for the gym. You know what I'm saying? Back here, I got the wood burner stove with the sirloin cooker. So I cook my steaks and shit on there, which is lit.
Wow.
We got the four burner stove.
Wow.
Yeah, we got a fridge. We got running water. I got my Nespresso because I'm bougie and I need the coffee like that. We got a washroom. That's laundry. And then we got a queen size bed and we got a baby girl.
Is that your pet snake?
A half foot boa constrictor Colombian.
Wow.
We got a closet. I got all my kicks. Currently rocking the new Nike Airs. I love Airs, as you can see. yeah, fam, this is how I've been living, bro. You know what I mean?
What made you decide to make this move as a Toronto man to say, you know what, I'm going to go explore our beautiful country, put together this amazing vehicle? Like, bro, like, this is so impressive. Okay, even thank before you. The decision of making, I'm going to keep that on the Pinterest board for a second. Can we nerd out for a quick second, fam?
That's like, what I do. Yeah.
Like, how did you get the internet to get into a moving vehicle?
I did my research and found out because I figured like there's got to be a mobile internet service, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I did my research and found out that Starlink, owned by Elon Musk, connects to the fucking satellites in space. Like literally. And it's pretty expensive monthly, but once I cut out my phone bill and my phone bill became coming off my internet,
yeah,
I really justify it as two bills in one, right? Mm-hmm. Internet and phone. It's $200 a month for Starlink, $195. But I'd say 4 out of 5 times I've got high speed internet. There is that one time where the internet's screwing around and you can't really, you know, work. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, my internet is smooth sailing and it's pretty damn fast too, especially like, I mean, I've been in the middle of nowhere in the Rockies, in the mountains. There's nowhere, there's not even a store for 50 miles in any direction. And I'm playing friggin' Call of Duty and Street Fighter on, like online, you know what I'm saying? So
wow.
It was definitely a good purchase. One of the first things that I got when I got the bus, I literally prepared this down to the amount of nuts and bolts that I would need to build like the desk and the sink. And, you know, like the amount of prep that went into this,
mm-hmm,
is nothing to scoff at. Cause I really did the most to make this as functional and as livable as possible.
Ballpark figure about prep for before you left, about a year, let's say?
No, I'm not okay mentally. So for me, I was prepping day and night for about a month and a half, and then I was utilizing people that I knew on social media that, you know, I had posted about bus life. And then I had a buddy from here actually say, yo, I live van life. So if you're serious about it, let me know. So utilizing connects that I had on social media really upped my progress. And I was prepped in a month and a half, and it took 6 months to build the bus. So I was thinking about this in like October of last year, and I had the bus ready and on the road in at the first week of June. I was gone.
Okay. Okay. So, that's
yeah. Wild. So I've been on the move for a few months now.
And what prompted the decision for bus life? That's the name of the title. That's the title of this episode right here. Bus life.
Yeah. That's what it is. I mean, yo, I just had enough, bro. I had enough of Toronto, bro. Like, I love Toronto. My whole fucking brand is based around Toronto. I'm the six at six. Good morning, Toronto. Brandon Walczak here. That's me, you know? And I'll never take that away from me, or, you know, nobody could ever take that away from me either. But man, the politics, the lockdowns back when COVID was hitting, and it just changed the city, bro. The city just don't feel the same. And I felt, especially because I'm now 2.5 years sober, and, you know, from alcohol, by the way. No, you know, congrats. I was never really into drugs, but alcohol was my vice. 2.5 years sober in my second year, I just was like, yo, I need a change. You know what I'm saying? I need a change, because all I'm doing is sitting at home making videos and paying bills. Mm. And it just felt like I was just doing the same thing over again, paying bills, sitting in front of the computer, jerking off, paying bills, sitting in front of the computer, making funny videos. And I was like, yo, why don't I do this on the road? Yeah. Like, why don't I do this while I'm going somewhere, you know? And then, yeah, Six in the Sticks was born, because now I'm actually utilizing my lifestyle to continuously generate content. And it's a pretty beautiful thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's once I seen that move happening, I was like, that is a great idea. It's like, for a content creator, it's a great idea for anybody, right? Just to be able to get in the outdoors and stuff like that. But especially for a content creator, because the endless amount of content opportunities you must be seeing is just crazy.
Yeah, it's been nonstop. And that's like part and parcel with the lifestyle. Like I said, I'm always moving. I'm always in a different place. So even at base value, just having the camera on puts me in different scenery. Mm-hmm. And then, you know me, I spin it around and make something funny out of something. And, you know, now I've got creative content where I'm traveling and doing comedy. And it's, I don't know, I really enjoy it. It's definitely, the past 3-4 months have changed my life, for sure. Oh, without a doubt.
I could imagine. And the audience probably have been very receptive to different changes that they're seeing on your pages and stuff too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been really hard to build that YouTube following, man. Like, yo, I thought YouTube would be a little bit easier. It's definitely been a very slow grind. But, I mean, yo, it just makes success that much sweeter. You know what I'm saying? So, slow grind namata. That's all I know. So, it is what it is.
Yeah, and if you need any advice behind the scenes for, like, you know, building the YouTube channel up, just holler at me. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of different ways of building up that subscriber base, getting your SEO, as they say, your search engine optimization up. Like, it's just super important. One thing I want to touch on also. Oh no, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say my what's that thing where they generate ads relative to your content Google off
ads.
YouTube?
Yeah, Google Ads.
Yeah, like my take per 1,000 views is really high. Mm. My RPM, is that what it's called?
Yeah. Runs per mile.
Yeah, so, I mean, if I can get the subscriber base up, then that would be, I could be looking at that as like a source of, like, one of your main sources of income, you know, which is, again, a goal for, I guess, anybody on YouTube. But yeah, especially vital when you're living this type of lifestyle. You know what I'm saying?
No, 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 bro. You are made for YouTube. Even just having this conversation now, and I have a question that I'm going to keep as far as the COVID thing and you being on the road. I'm going to hold that for a second, but you just mentioned this YouTube stuff. Like, you've been on Instagram for a multitude of years. You know, you got 100,000 plus followers and stuff. But I've always thought to myself, bro, you're a YouTuber at heart. Like, you catch that YouTube algorithm, especially with what you're doing now, you'll get an audience who are just glued, bro. I'm telling you.
I've always been good with Instagram. Like you said, Instagram was my main platform. I guess I did things a little backwards back in the day because Instagram was what was hot in Toronto and not YouTube. So I did things backwards and I kind of kicked myself in the ass for that because it is what it is, but here we are, right? So I definitely need somebody to give me that guidance. So I will definitely hit you up because YouTube is a bit foreign to me. I just know consistency and that's, I've got that. I've always had that. You know that. So, I drop a video a week and, here we are.
You can probably repurpose some of that content that you have on your Instagram and then re-upload it to YouTube too. But like I said, we'll talk behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One thing you mentioned also, and I got a list of questions here, but like, fam, I just like chopping it up with somebody like you because you're a real creative. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Did you hear that there might be another lockdown coming around?
Yep.
You might be in the perfect time and perfect places because you're not in one place for this type of thing to come around. Like, have you thought about that ahead of time too?
Well, I mean, I'm definitely going to be living it up.
That's what I'm saying.
When lockdown hits, I'm going to be good. That's for sure. Right. And I guess that's, a lot of people kind of fantasize about being in a situation like this where they can just go wherever they want. If a lockdown happens, I'm going to be like, fuck it and just leave. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, definitely thought about it prior. Didn't think we'd have another lockdown. But I mean, are you surprised? You know what I'm saying?
Come on now. We're in child right now, right now, bro. It's going to get crazy.
China.
Yeah, man. So, okay, you're moving around. Craziest city that you've gone to so far? Because you've made it all the way to the other side of the country, so that means you've passed through all of the other provinces.
I've been to every major city in Canada. Every single one, except for anything in like Northwest Territories or Yukon. Who the fuck's going there? You know what I'm saying?
None of it.
Nah. I even forgot about that one. But yeah, I've been across all the middle mainland and I gotta be honest, bro. Yo, the best place I've ever been is Nova Scotia, bro. Nova Scotia's different. It's different. It's so sick there. And more specifically, Dartmouth.
Okay.
For a little geography lesson for you guys here.
Yes, please.
Halifax and Dartmouth are separated by a body of water and two pay toll bridges. So if you want to go to Halifax, which is like the city side, you got to throw $2 in. Like, it literally looks like a movie. It's like a big cone funnel and you just throw $2 in while you're driving and then the fucking gate opens. It's sick.
Old school tolls.
yeah, man. So if you want to go to Halifax, and Halifax is like super city, like Toronto, it's like downtown, like Bay, like it's like Bay in, you know what I'm saying? That area, like Bay and friggin', like near the harbor front,
Okay.
But the whole city is beside an ocean. Like you're on an ocean. So it's like a harbor front vibe city. They've got Louis, they've got this, they got that. It's just a normal fucking downtown core, but it's beside the ocean. So it's beautiful. Smells nice, everything nice. And then when you're done and you want to go home, for me personally, I'd go to Dartmouth, which is the dark side. They call it the dark side. And it just 15 lakes all in the city. The way the city like cascades and there's fucking houses on cliffs and shit. Like, wow. It's just next level looking. Yo, and bare light skins and black people, like white people are the minority there.
Wow.
Which is even sicker. Yeah, like I felt right at home. You know what I'm saying? Like,
light skin paradise.
Yo, it was so sick, bro. Like, yo, the first thing I seen when I got to Dartmouth was a light skin in a construction truck with a do-rag on, and I just bursted out laughing. I was like, yo, I'm kind of home still. You know what I'm saying?
You're just here to,
something just clicked for me, and I was like, yo, this place is sick. The food there is amazing. I mean, I really didn't get out like into the nightlife much. I was chilling with Pat Stay's wife, rest in peace to Pat, and her friend Jess. And so, you know, they took me out and showed me the nightlife a couple times, but I wasn't frequenting it because I don't drink, right? So still, though, great times, and definitely the most beautiful and the most I felt at home place, Nova Scotia.
Yeah. That sounds like an experience, man. And just to touch on something, we're going to be jumping all over the place like bird shit today, man. Like, you mentioned the sobriety. You say what, you're about 2 years in, almost 3 years in?
2.5, yeah.
Right? And you're speaking to somebody who's 13 years in, right? I stopped drinking back in 2010.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Congratulations, bro. No, you're
congratulations
going in.
To you, bro, because after a while with me, it just becomes, it's become second nature over the years. But like, you know, I know with me, I don't have any urges or anything like that when I go out to clubs or whatever, right? Do you still get that? Like, is it still an issue when you go out? Like, do you deal with people, places, and things, like they say?
It was in the first year. The first year, I really had to cut myself off from people. Mm-hmm. Socializing was minimal at best. I didn't go out anywhere. I could not go to the bar. But now when I go out, I order a Shirley Temple, and people get a laugh out of that. The grown-ass man ordering a Shirley Temple. But it keeps me from drinking because the first thing I say is, well, oh, can we get you something to drink? I say, I don't drink, but can you make me a Shirley Temple?
Yeah.
That is like my line, because I let the waitress know that I don't drink right off the hop. And I find that has made it really easy for me to socialize in a place with alcohol for the past year and a half. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's been 2.5 years. But like I said, the first year I didn't even go anywhere because I just didn't know how. You know?
Yeah.
So it took a long time for me, or maybe it took a short time, I don't know, but for me to get comfortable being in those types of atmospheres. And now I'm just good, you know what I'm saying? A joke with Shorty that I have a Shirley Temple. I'm still getting the number, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And how have you felt, like, physically? Like, have you felt the change and stuff like that? Have your body felt cleaner?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the, I was going to the gym a lot when I was starting in early sobriety, you know. I gained 30 pounds working out and I was big. I mean, I'm not living that lifestyle now. It's really hard to meal prep and shit in this bus. That is one of the downfalls is, you know, I don't have much space for groceries or for fridge space. So it's kind of like I got to hit the grocery store every 2 days. So that is one of the pitfalls of living in this lifestyle. I can't, you know, be active as much as I want to in the gym. But I mean, that doesn't stop me. I still go to the gym, you know?
Yeah. No, it's dope that you're going through this experience, this journey. It's every day. It's a one day at a time type of thing. Right. Like you could tell, I've been to a bunch of 12 step meetings back in the days. Right. So I know that language, but it's a blessing, man. One thing I need to do quick, which I should have done at the beginning of this episode, I forgot to salute my sponsors.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, go for it.
I got to make sure to have the bag here because they're one of our sponsors too. So
Yeah.
I'll start with, let's start with the main sponsors, Diamond Club, deliveries all over the GTA. That's what I'm puffing on right now. They got the can of cans, they got edibles, they got all types of goodies. Hit them up on their Instagram page, DiamondClub_Canada, or you can find them on the 7 Days of Weed website or the Leafy Things website. Scene. Big up to Diamond Club. Hold on, I'm out of breath. And salute to Steaming Hot Grabber. I had to go get the grabber from downstairs. I'm balling up something right now. This grabber is super hot, okay? Plus, they got peanut butter grabber, all different types of flavors. Hit them up on their Instagram, Steaming Hot Grabber. Tell them that the We Love Hip Hop Boy sent you, and they'll give you a little discount. Scene? Sorry, you know, got to do that.
Peanut butter grabber.
It's crazy.
I've not heard of that one still.
Yo, this is the first time I've heard of it since like they started messing with us. And I'm like, yo, it's blessed, bro. It's blessed.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Your trip so far right now, you're moving across Canada. Okay. We're dealing with some different things right now as far as forest fires. And I've been seeing you post some of that stuff on your Instagram page. Can you tell me your thoughts on the whole forest fire phenomenon that's been going on and what you see in comparison to what we see in the media?
Honestly, bro, it's scary. I've seen a few of them. Like I said, I've been across the whole country. I saw them in Nova Scotia. I saw them in Northern Quebec. I saw them in Northern Ontario. I saw them in British Columbia. Yo. How old are we? When was the last time you heard about a forest fire? Let me ask you this.
Back in the Smokey the Bear times. Only you can prevent forest fires.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're popping up a little too frequently. You know what I mean? And not to mention, half of the ones that I've seen, nobody's even fighting them. They're just burning.
Really?
And that's what really creeped me out. I see people in my comment section saying, oh, the chemicals you're smelling is a flame retardant that they put to stop the forest fire, da 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 da. But there's nobody there. And there's no aerial assistance. Nothing's dumping this on the fire. It just stinks like chemicals out here. And these places are burning. I don't know. Something seems really sus to me about it. And especially seeing it firsthand and watching fires that are out of control and nobody's around. It's like how, you know, not to mention half of the trees and shit that I'm passing by are healthy. They're full of water. So,
where's the forest fire even
make
coming
it make
from?
Sense? Cause it ain't that dry out right now. It just rained yesterday, you know, like anyways. Definitely sus because I've seen about 5 or 6 of them across the country.
Wow. 5 or 6. And you just mentioned all these different places. I've heard of the Quebec ones and I've been and hearing the BC ones, but you mentioned Nova Scotia. And you mentioned what there's another spot you mentioned as well.
Well, the ones that I've seen, one was in Nova Scotia,
Ontario,
one was in Northern Quebec. Another one was in Northern Ontario. And then there was one in Alberta, like on the border of Alberta and British Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've seen 2 in British Columbia. So yeah, I've seen about 6. It's been, and they're everywhere.
That's crazy. You see, I need to get information like this from you because you're literally, as they say, in the field, like you're going across Canada, seeing it in real time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's wild. Just to, you know, brighten up some of the different activities that have been going on. I seen that you got a casting call for the Trailer Park Boys.
Yes, sir. I did. Yeah, baby. Yeah.
How did that go, man? And how did that come to be?
It was the movie. It wasn't even an episode. I thought it was an episode initially, because they don't give you much information when you're getting a casting call. So I signed up because somebody in Nova Scotia sent me a link to the Trailer Park Boys thing. Mm-hmm. So I thought, fuck it, I'll sign up. So I signed up and they replied the very next day. I sent them pictures and like myself with my shirt off with bear tattoos, because it's the Trailer Park Boys. Like, they don't want a clean cut white boy. They want, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I sent them a bunch of pictures. They sent me a casting call for the following day at like 7 a.m. And I get there and it's a jail scene. And like I said, this is the movie. It's not even an episode. So I was like, yo, warm my grill, you know? And we had the jean jump, like jean, like, you know, jail suits on.
Yeah.
And it's a full brawl in like an auditorium. Bubbles, the one with the glasses, is playing some song on a stage about cats, and everybody in the jail's getting pissed off. And then he starts singing a song called Liquor and Whores, and everybody snaps and there's a big huge brawl. And I didn't even realize, but like, they were like, pick your seats. So naturally I went to the front row, mm-hmm. and I sat down at this one seat, and right next to me was a seat with some green tape on it. And I didn't even see it initially, but they're like, that's for one of the cast. So I'm like, nice, I'm going to have somebody from the cast right beside me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it had this, fuck, this guy was huge, bro. 6'8", 350 pounds, a solid muscle. And he was like the nicest guy you've ever met, you know? It'd be like that. Like, yeah, just the nicest guy you've ever met. But he's like the main focal point of the fight. So the camera went by. We've probably shot the scene about 70 times.
Hold on, throughout. Not to interrupt you. So wait a minute. You're in the movie already now. You're filming. Or
I'm in the movie now. Yeah, the
keep movie's going. Not out yet.
Yeah, the movie's not out yet. But so we shot the scene about 70 times that day. It was a long day, 13-hour day, and I understand the way set works. So I did the exact same thing over and over again, the same faces, the same demeanor, the mm-hmm. same motions. And the director caught the way I was working and started moving the camera around me mm-hmm. and the guy on set. So I'm 100% in the movie, because I look like his little minion now, because I got my grill in and he's fucking huge. And I'm like beside him, like talking to him. And we started doing like this routine mm-hmm. and the director started working around us. So the whole fight scene, I'm sure once it's like cut and edited, will probably be about a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'm 100% in the movie, and it feels good, because you know, when the director comes up to you and says, I like what you're doing, keep going. Can we get a shot of his teeth as we go by here?
Sick.
It's like, yeah. You
close
know?
Ups. So, close ups. Hey.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I didn't even do the whole, oh, you know, like I'm six or yada, yada. I didn't want to even bring attention like that. I just did my thing. And I know I'm going to be highlighted in that scene with mm-hmm. With that fucking huge guy, because he's, you know, he was like a big guy,
bro. That's so sick. This is what Dusty Wallace, he calls placement control. You know what I'm saying? You put yourself in the right place, right times.
Yeah.
And just even with your YouTube, keep building on that, bro, because stuff like that, once that hits the big screen, you're gonna see your YouTube go skyrocket, dude. It's going to be a mod thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, that's dope. That's dope. And just to switch gears for a quick second, okay? I used to see you post a lot with a lady on your page, okay? I would imagine now that's probably your ex, right?
Depending on which one you're talking about, yeah.
You used to do a lot of skits with her, okay? I'm going somewhere with this, okay? So
yeah.
Right? Now that stopped. I stopped seeing the skits. Is that a thing? Like when you start making skits with somebody, then it stops being a thing, and then like you're not posting anymore. Like you got to wipe pages. Like how did that work, dude?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's just like that with any breakup, you know, when you stop fucking with somebody or somebody disrespects you, you gotta have some control over that sort of stuff, you know?
And listen, I don't want to know the ins and outs. I just want to know the content experience after. The ins and outs are like none of our business. You know what I'm saying? That's on you. You know what I'm saying? But the content creation aspect, what we see, the public, is what I want to know about. Like, how did that change things? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it definitely puts a riff because one thing a lot of fans are looking for is consistency, you know? So when you start being consistent with somebody with content and then that relationship severs and thus the content suffers, mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to get people's attention onto the next thing that you're doing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But one thing I've always found, especially with my content personally, is that people don't follow me for so much particular things that I do as much as they follow me for me, for mm-hmm. my personality, for who I am. And that, you know, having those types of loyal followers that are there for you is rare, you know?
Yeah. And then I guess you get to take them through your own personal experience as well as your content experience.
That's right.
No, man, I just, you know, because from somebody who looks from the outside and I see posts and stuff like that, these are all just different things that, like, and you're not the only person. Like, I've seen this with multiple content creators, right? But to get to talk mm-hmm. to someone is something I always wanted to know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right? And you also do graphic design. You know, like, I know you've told me behind the scenes and you show some of your graphic design in your content. But I don't know if everybody's yeah. aware that you're actually doing a lot of that design yourself, if not all.
Yeah, I'm a graphic designer by trade, so I create logos and animations for companies. And I've always kept that separate from the success sticks, you know, because mm-hmm. God forbid, you know, the page gets shut down or whatever. My graphic design is its own business, and, you know, will still keep food on my table. Without me, you know, having to worry about the 6 at 6, which of course generates more income than the logo design. But logo design is always something I've been good at. So mm-hmm. I was like, you know, and I had to teach, that was self-taught too, because I wanted to create things that I wanted to be in comedy. And I was like, how do I get this done? Fiverr sucks. So I just had to trial and error and teach myself how to do these things, you know?
Yeah.
Be self-sufficient is it.
Well, listen, fam, you're talking to a man who edits his own content too. So, and I've tried Fiverr too. I don't want to say it sucks, but it's not the best.
Garbage, bro.
And yo, dude, like, trust me, you, to me, you're like that, the Sanctis guy, most interesting man in the world. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, fam. I appreciate you, Doug.
No, fam.
It's like, always a good conversation every time we talk too. It's natural. That's one thing that I appreciate about your style of interview too. You don't force things and make things, you know.
Well, fam, we know each other.
We just talk.
Yeah, like we met each other through this content game, but there's only a few people that we stay consistent. Like we're like, you know, you're consistently tapping in with them or, you know, making more content or behind the scenes. So when that happens, that's valuable to me. It makes it easier to have our on-camera conversations. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Yeah.
And even just with that too, like just on a whole broadening the conversation as a Toronto man, right? And, you know, you said you left Toronto because you're kind of fed up with the polis. You're fed up with the politics, everything in the scene. Well, what's your thoughts on the Toronto music scene right now? Are you happy with it?
No, I've been happy with it for a really long time. I mean, but we're from a completely different era. So, you know, I guess it all does stem back to the politics of it all. I mean, you know, the violence and the Screwface Capital is back in full effect right now. I just feel like people would get so much further if we pushed each other as a city, and stopped, you know, beefing with each other over dumb shit. And that's it really feels like that's all it is. Even like fucking yesterday, what's her face girl, SB,
Lady SB.
That girl is trash, bro. And you know, her talking shit to me and trying to insinuate disgusting allegations that I jump in front of immediately and fend myself because
hold on. And listen, I have no dog in the race here, right? Because I have relationships with both of y'all. But I'm not aware of this. What happened, fam?
We love hip hop.
Listen to the sponsors, Diamond Club, with delivery all over the GTA and now all across Canada. They got the best selection of flower, edibles, and pens and all types of goodies that you need. You can find them on their Instagram page, DiamondClub_Canada, or you can find them on the 7 Days of Weed app as well as the Leafy Things app. Let them know that you heard about them through the We Love Hip Hop Network, and they may give you a discount. Big salute to Diamond Club. Yeah.
She was bag up in my inbox regularly, you know, asking to holler at me and yada yada yada. I asked her how old she was and she told me she was 19, and I told her, when you're 20, I'll fuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's just the type of nigga I am. I'm not into that fucking that young shit. Anyways, apparently, when she was, I guess, 17 in 2017,
okay,
she got into a club that I was in and was in my booth and tried to use that to call me a predator.
What?
And I was like, yo, you know, them type of goof talks are crazy. So I was like, first of all, bitch. You know what I'm saying? I could never be that guy.
Mm.
Here's all the receipts of you in my inbox begging for dick, asking me to call you, yada, 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 this, that, and the third. You know, the club letting an underage girl in doesn't depict my character as a man.
Yeah.
Me telling you, when you told me you were 19, that I wouldn't fuck with you until you're 20, that depicts my character as a man. You see it?
Yeah.
So move from me with them goof talks, because I wouldn't even fuck with you at 19. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So she's super disrespectful and super untalented too. But that type of shit, like bringing that up and trying to demean my character because she was embarrassed that she was talking about getting farted in her mouth or something on a vlog. She was on a pod talking about getting farted in her mouth or some crazy, 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 crazy talks. And it's like, yo, if you can't handle public scrutiny, then this life isn't for you.
Mm.
Because being in the public eye, you're going to have to take some scrutiny and, you know, you're going to have to, have a defense mechanism against that to not let it eat you up inside to be saying disgusting things like that to somebody when I'm definitely not that type of guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No.
Them allegations are career ending, and it's despicable that woman would say that, because those are the types of women that make it hard for women when shit actually happens to be heard. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No. That can get really sticky, bro. That's wild.
Yeah, I'm lucky I got receipts. You know what I'm saying? I'm lucky I don't delete shit out of my inbox and I'm also a stand-up guy and people know that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, man. Receipts, receipts, receipts. Always keep receipts, bro. Trust me. And even with the whole Toronto scene, there was a few of us blogged that did a post with like a six or no, it was a 9-person grid. It was right after Doovie got locked up with all of like the recent amount of Toronto rappers that were sent to jail, right? There was like Doovie, Top Five, Burner Bands. Like there was a whole bunch of people in the picture. What are your thoughts on that? Like, as you know what I mean? One of the people in the, in an influencer in this scene.
Again, bro, this all stems back to the politics of it all, man. Like, a lot of these niggas are super talented, and there should be no need to put your front runner in danger like this.
Mm-hmm.
Your front, like, I'm talking about a front runner, like somebody that's, you know, generating a buzz for the block or generating income for the block. These people should not be getting their hands dirty. But, you know, I just, like, I really can't say much about it because I've removed myself from the lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I'm not a part of it anymore. So I really, like, I can't say nothing, but, like, it's a damn shame. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because a lot of these guys are really talented and are fucking their shit up for 10, 15 years. And that's, like, that's it. You consider that a life sentence, because when you get out after that, you're not making a buzz like you were before. You know what I'm saying? You're not popping like you were before. So, I mean, it's really up to a lot of these guys' mentality to create these situations where I got somebody messaged me. I'm going to restart that. It's really up to a lot of these guys' mentality to make that self change and understand that if they're going to put themselves in the limelight like that and be the front runner, you know, for their block or for their family or for whatever, that they really take their talent above the street cred and above the stripes and getting stripes, because that's, stripes are not going to fucking help you in the next 3 years, but you getting that single out and being there for press tours, for shows, you know, for opportunities, that's what matters.
That's a life changer.
A lot of these niggas don't care about you, and it sucks that a lot of these guys don't see that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's real talk, fam. Like, I feel that, especially as older statesmen out here now, you know what I'm saying? We need to be spreading these messages to these youngins, bro. A lot of people peep this network and they look for jewels from these interviews as well. So coming from you is really important, bro. Last couple questions that I have, even on the scene and just you within it too, but just this for the scene for a second. One of these rants that I was having the other day, right? They call me Ricky Rant and Dread sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Or I call myself that. But I was saying that they can't be a replacement for Drake right now, because the level of music or the level of care that people put into their music is not even there right now. Am I wrong about that? Or can there be somebody that can, not say replace Drake, but somebody can get so popular that Drake can say, you know what? I might have to just step back, because this guy from Toronto was killing it so much. He's the new me. He's even new improved.
Oh, in the Toronto scene?
From Toronto. I'm not talking about from the States, because remember, he came from here. So if we can have one, shouldn't we be able to have another?
I mean, you're asking lightning to strike twice. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, Drake is so legendary for everything that he's done. I mean, he's done it all. You know what I'm saying? And he hits every genre with his own style that is, he's legendary.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't feel like there's anybody at that caliber, I'll say, yet. But I mean, like, even for instance, Tory had his own style, you know what I mean? His own, he did not follow any sort of path to like copying or mimicking Drake. He did his own thing.
Yeah.
The Weeknd, exact same thing, did his own thing. So if you're talking about hitting a Drake status in different genres, like The Weeknd, for instance, I guess that lightning twice.
Yeah.
Then yeah, I mean, maybe we could, but I don't think anybody on the scene is serious enough to take it to that level right now, because going back to what we were talking about prior with, you know, not putting the mute, they're not putting their careers first. They're putting stripes and, you know, hood respect first, which is so minimal in the grand scheme of things.
Facts.
And yeah.
Yeah. No. Well said, brother. And last question I have for you as far as like with this scene here, right? Do you remember the 2018, 2017 content creator times? Like the flourishing times, there was so many different people that were like on the YouTube space. The Instagram was popping like way, like not just for rappers, but for the content creators. Like there was you, a man like Joseph, Toronto guy Cody. Everybody was like popping off, right? Do you think that the 2023 scene is as hot as for content creators as it was in 2018?
Close. Not even within the a million miles. Not even close.
Why is that?
Yeah, 2016 to 2018 was like fresh, bro. Mm. It was like even 2016 was like, yo, there was a magic in the air. I don't know. Ask anybody about summer 16. Mm. It was magical. You know what I'm saying? But no, man, that explosion of creativity, you have to remember too, that was like SoundCloud era too, you know?
True.
It wasn't just Toronto. It was the world like that. It was a vibe, you know? And I feel like, it's been a while since that sort of shit has happened. It feels, social media has really felt kind of stagnant for the past couple years since COVID, which, you know, you would think would be the other way around because people would be stuck in the house with nothing to do. So making content would be, you know, better content anyway, more creative content. But what we got was TikTok, you know, a short form app that has like destroyed people's attention spans to a level that has been unheard of. People can't concentrate on a video for more than 10 seconds now.
Yeah. A minute is too long. Like that 1 minute Instagram reel or holy God, like for the TikTok audience, they're like, what the hell? Well, grandpa, boomer.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's what crazy, is that,
90
bro,
seconds? So. Whoa.
Trust me.
Wow. So you're not on TikTok?
I'm on TikTok, yeah. But I mean, I don't post any original content on TikTok. I post what I make for Instagram on TikTok.
Yeah.
And then... But YouTube has become my top priority, making this long form content. And then I will make a short form portrait style for Instagram and TikTok. Mm-hmm. But my TikTok is so hit or miss. Like it's either 600 views or 60,000. There's no in between.
Yeah.
You know, my consistency on Instagram is always like minimum 30,000 views per video. That's like my baseline on Instagram. So, my Instagram is great for bringing people over to my YouTube platform, but TikTok is even like 20,000 followers. I'm getting like 600 views. It doesn't make any sense. So I don't understand the algorithm on TikTok and I won't try to. I do want somebody that can control that for me, that knows how to grow that. I would love to have that person that I could just pay, deal with it.
Yeah. Listen, your first,
you know,
or your next big movie bag, allocate some of that to a social media manager to make them to tell them to get on your TikTok, make that shit rock. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, man. Brandon Walczak, AKA the six at six or the six in the sticks. You know what I'm saying? That's the new now. Six the new the name.
Six, two.
Right?
The six at six. And six on the sticks, yeah. I had to make another brand too, you know?
Yeah.
Can't just put all my eggs in one basket.
Nah, fam. I had to tap in with you just from watching your experience from online and seeing just the different places that you've been popping up in. I'm like, you know what? This would make for some interesting conversation for the people because, you know, not everybody gets to go outside their block, bro. Far less more just leave Toronto. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So for you to be doing this move is big. It's great for the content. And like I said, like that YouTube stuff, we'll talk behind the scene, because I see YouTube just feeding you with money in the future, bro.
I appreciate that, fam. I definitely need that type of positive affirmation.
Nah, fam, it's easy, bro. What do you got coming up? Like, do you have like a set plan of what you got coming up next, or is it just like as you go along?
I've been flying by the seat of my pants for the better part of 4 months, and I'm going to continue to do so, because the opportunities that I've been, you know, that have been literally falling into my lap is so beautiful, because it's like I'm finding myself. It's like if I was anywhere at any other moment, I wouldn't have had this opportunity. But boom, I'm here because of the situation that I've put myself in. So I'm going to Vancouver tomorrow. Even Drizzy's in Vancouver right now. I'm going to Vancouver tomorrow. We'll see what opportunities present themselves. You know what I'm saying? I've been chilling with Foreign a lot out here. So,
yeah, salute to Foreign and Anita. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Listen, bro. I'm like I said, this is a big move. I think I'm going to be making a move across Canada to one of these places. So maybe we can connect when I get over there. You know what I'm saying? I'll maybe try to pop up at a place where you're already at, and we'll make some content over there, bro.
Yeah, man. Vancouver and Nova Scotia are the two hot places other than Toronto, obviously. But I mean, you know, Toronto's different now, like I said, so.
Yeah. Trust me, fam. I'm about to get out just now. But listen, fam, one thing before I gotta get out of here, I want to make sure I salute my sponsors again. You know what I'm saying? Because listen,
yeah, man.
I think Pink Rockstar that I've been puffing right now, wavy. Big salute to Diamond Club. Hit them up on their Instagram, DiamondClub_Canada. Delivery all across Canada, okay, and inside of the GTA, okay. You can find them on the 7 Days of Weed website as well, and big up to Steamin' Hot Grabba. Hit them up on their Instagram, Steamin' Hot Grabba. All right. No G on the end.
And the peanut butter grabba.
Get that peanut butter grabba. Get the little grabba dispenser that you could just shake the grabba out. Anything you need, bro. I'm going to take us out here for the listening audience, since we were talking about Summer 16 with Summer 16.
Yeah.
Can you hear that?
Looking.
Jeez.
Looking.
Huge.
Looking. Big salute
legendary
to the
66. All summer 16. Playing dirty, not clean.
Jeez.
Out front for a season, looking like a damn football team. All in the same thing.
That is sorry,
all repping one thing. Looking for revenge. To do what you couldn't do. Tell Obama that my verses are just like the whips of the
year. We love hip hop. We love hip hop.